Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and I want to thank you all so much for joining us today. It means so much to see that you're still listening and sharing this podcast with others. But for those of you that are just joining us today, I want to truly welcome you to the exchange. It's your new thoughts and energy that help this podcast and community thrive. So please accept my sincerest thanks. You listeners truly do keep my energy up and things moving forward. You are the most important part of this podcast. So please remember, if you have any suggestions for topics or guests, I do listen to the listeners, and I look forward to your emails, either from our website, or you can contact me on Twitter at Awaken Exchanges, or at any one of our social media sites. I hope that you're as excited to be here as I am to be back with you today. I want to thank Sean Shumway for once again returning to be my foil while we discuss an amazing book that I believe everyone should read and learn more about. That would be Tom O'Neill's Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. Tom O'Neill is an amazing journalist who started by taking a look at the 30th anniversary of the Manson family murders, and it turned into a 20-year obsession. I personally think that this book breaks two of the biggest cases in the history of the United States. You should read it first and foremost. Even after listening to this podcast, I will not be able to do it justice. That said, there are definitely spoilers in here, so consider yourself very forewarned. In the show notes, I have included links where you can buy Tom O'Neill's book and support a local bookstore at the same time. I've also included another link in the show notes to a book called Mortal Error, and we'll touch on that a little bit, but that's the first book that puts forth a particular theory about the JFK assassination that I think rings way too true. So, while we'll be telling the story in a different way and linking the players together from different angles, I'm going to be trying to show connections that I can hypothesize freely about, as it's my own opinion, while as Tom O'Neill actually stuck with the journalistic integrity needed and only published facts that he could prove in his book. Now, I'll be talking about COINTELPRO, Operation Chaos, MKUltra, Jolly West, the JFK assassination, all leading up into the Manson family murders and how the CIA may have successfully ended the 1960s. Oh, and before I move on, I want to thank Wikipedia for providing the source of a lot of the consensus fact information that I used to flesh out the story that Tom O'Neill did a much better job researching in his 20-year thesis. However, before we get to the show, here is a brief rundown of our sponsors. First off, I want to thank all of you personally for your support. Just listening and sharing this podcast with your friends gives me a reason to keep providing the best content that I can. If you have the means and would like to contribute personally, please take a look at our Patreon page, where you will get access to exclusive content and deals. As for our other sponsors, Awakened Vapes was the first of the Awakened brands and has been helping you modulate your high with CBD-only, high-terpene vape products since 2019. Genesis Farms has been making the highest quality medicinal RSO among many other fantastic products, starting with the medical community back before 2010. And last but definitely not least, the Caramel Corn Company, bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. Now, remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube, or follow us wherever else you're listening. And if you can, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I say that just like every podcast does, because it really does help spread the word. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. All right, now stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Awakened Exchanges. Genesis Farms was founded on the belief in cannabis's ability to heal. Genesis Farms is more than a brand. They're a compassionate community of like-minded individuals that generate top-quality cannabis products made with love and care. Community outreach is always on their mind, and their partnerships with Grow for Vets and Parents for Pot was just the beginning to what they hope to accomplish in the coming years. You can find their products on the best dispensary shelves across the state of Oregon. Their RSO is the most consistent quality in the state. Their tinctures are second to none, and their personal massage oil will have you and your partner both coming back for more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram and ask for them in your local dispensary today. Don't forget to listen to Sean's interview here on Awakened Exchanges. It's episode number 3. The Caramel Corn Company is bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. Made with premium ingredients in small, handcrafted batches and completely gluten-free. The flavors include original, roasted cashew, salted almond, mixed nut, spicy sriracha, white morsel macadamia, peanut butter, butterscotch, and my personal favorites, chocolate drizzle and raspberry caramel apple. I can't say enough about how delicious this caramel corn is. It makes a great gift any time of the year. You can find them on sale in Portland area market of choice locations and online again here real soon. Visit caramelcorncompany.com for more information today. Remember, buying local supports small businesses and keeps your money building your community. And last but not least, Awaken Vapes has been bringing you some of the highest quality CBD vape cartridges since ringing in the new year in 2019. I became passionate about cannabis after a car wreck left me with major migraines and no prescribed pills helped alleviate any of the symptoms. Having only tried cannabis a handful of times in high school and college, it was a doctor's recommendation that led me to give cannabis another try. Only then did I realize that we'd all been at least a little misled about the health benefits of this amazing plant. Despite the unexpected break because of the vape ban and then a global health crisis, the business is stronger than ever, and we invite you to check out our updated website today. We are still offering our 3 varieties with new improved terpene formulations and enhanced flavor to go along with the custom blended terpene effect profiles. Check back at awakenvapes.com for any updates. You can always email us about wholesaling or white labeling opportunities as well. Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. We've been dark for pretty much 2 months, except for a short intro episode last week, but we're back. I want to thank all of our returning listeners and hope that those that seem to have found us in our absence decide to give this episode a listen as well. I've been a voracious reader off and on for most of my life, and the book we're going to be talking about today is one of the most fascinating pieces of research I've ever come across. There are going to be a lot of spoilers ahead, so you are forewarned. I'm not just going to be recapping the book, but I am going to be talking about a lot of the topics that it delves into and some of its findings. So joining me in exploring this topic along with you is the ever fun and mindful Sean Shumway.
Hey, everybody.
And thank you again for joining me, man. Really appreciate you being here.
I'm very, very happy to do it, as always.
So are you ready for this reality warping adventure through the 60s?
Yeah, even just, I purposely did not read the outline you sent me because I know there's some stuff you want to get an instant reaction from, but the little bit of research I did is just like, this is, have an open mind, people. That's all I'll say. Have an open mind.
Just remember that the researcher did do 20 years of research and only allowed himself to publish in the book what he could prove. I wish I could get his conjecture, but I guess you're stuck with hearing mine, so. All right, so you may think that I'm exaggerating, but this book should change pretty much anyone's opinion on what truly happened in the 60s and what eventually ended the Summer of Love. Let's start with the fact that we're going to come across as sounding like conspiracy theory guys with this episode, but almost everything I'll say has been established as fact. I'm going to go ahead and point people to a lot of Wikipedia and general information articles so that you can find that, you know, it's consensus information. It's not even fringe fact. It's just what's out there. So while most of the rest of what I talk about is going to be confirmed and documented by Tom O'Neill in his book Chaos, and please read his book and do your own research here. It's really important that people actually learn how to do that kind of stuff. But we're going to go ahead and begin by exposing the conspiracy fact known as COINTELPRO. And what is COINTELPRO? It's the government abbreviation for the counterintelligence programs, and the FBI was proven to have run it from 1956 until 1971, and basically it had a name change, and who knows whatever name it went under at that point, but you can almost guarantee that it didn't just disappear.
Yeah, the government likes to keep an eye on us.
I think that's an understatement. What did Big Brother do during that time? Well, our own FBI ran a series of covert and illegal projects aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, disrupting domestic political organizations. FBI records have actually shown that COINTELPRO resources targeted groups and individuals that the FBI deemed subversive. Those included feminist organizations, the Communist Party of the USA, anti-Vietnam War organizers, activists of the civil rights movement, and the Black Panther movement, including Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, the Nation of Islam, the Black Panther Party, all of which will come into play later on in the story. They also targeted some environmentalists and animal rights organizations, such as the American Indian Movement, AIM, and many others. Had you heard about this before we started talking about this?
Only briefly mentioned in like movies and stuff set in that time period. You know, you heard little rumors about Hoover and what he had done, and like the during the Red Scare, you know, heard a lot about like the way they would send people into groups like that and whatnot. But I didn't realize it went to this extent. But looking at a bigger picture, you know, manipulation of information and public image is a tool that has been used by those in power for a long, long time. So it's not surprising at all.
Well, the COINTELPRO tactics are still used to this day and have been alleged to include discrediting targets through psychological warfare, smearing individuals and groups using forged documents, and planting false reports in the media, not to mention harassment, wrongful imprisonment, and illegal violence, including assassinations. I just want to say so much more, but I'm going to let it kind of unfold a little bit here. According to the Senate report, the FBI's motivation was, and I quote, "protecting national security, preventing violence, and maintaining the existing social and political order." That last part really needs to be heard, so listen to that one more time. "Maintaining the existing social and political order." That's something we should all be worried about.
Yeah, you know, there are those that will do literally anything to maintain the status quo just because it's the safety of what's always been done. It's what they know. To even think outside of that scares them. Think about this as a scares them to death. What would you do about something you're scared to death? You know, I just keep wanting to make this point that for those who may not already be this kind of minded, don't discredit the ideas that these things are possible. You know, yes, that the author has done his research and theirs have backed up, but even some of the ideas, you know, just think about where this is coming from. That fear, that will drive people to do anything.
Well, and like I said, that's something we should all be worried about right now as the changes going on in our society.
Yeah.
Not that there's much any of us can do about it other than staying vigilant and informed on, you know, the tactics, maybe question everything if we can. But this is the stuff that's proven. This is the stuff that they've just admitted and people don't talk about.
Yeah. You know, even if, say, it was for the best interest, because there may be, say, things happening like disasters or something that are nearly avoided that they keep quiet because, understandably, society would tear itself apart out of panic. Even on that level, I'm sure there's tons of stuff we don't know about and that hasn't been, you know, exposed. We're just now opening the door to what, on the other side of it, the control side, you know, I think we're just at the beginnings of the unveilings, you know, what seems to, was poked at, but we need to keep it going at it with the whole Epstein thing. You know, there's that, there's, the papers that just came out about with all the financial, the Panama Papers, you know, we're just starting to see the opening of what's really going on. I think it's going to be a bumpy, bumpy ride.
Yeah. Pandora, I believe, was this one, which is the Panama ones were the previous set.
Gotcha. Yes.
And yeah, well, one of the main proven crimes that relates to this book, Wikipedia says, started basically in the beginning of 1969 when leaders of the Black Panther Party were targeted by COINTELPRO and neutralized by being assassinated, imprisoned, publicly humiliated, or falsely charged with crimes. Some of the Black Panthers proven to be targeted were Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Zaid Shakur, Geronimo Pratt, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and Marshall Conway. Other targeted Black leaders included MLK and Malcolm X, and common tactics used by the COINTELPRO were perjury, witness harassment, witness intimidation, and withholding of exculpatory evidence. Does anyone else find that 1969 date a little unsettling, since maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but if you're a true crime buff, then maybe you already know that the Manson family murders happened in 1969. So the night of August 8th and the morning of August 9th. Coincidence? I really hope you guys start counting, because they're going to add up fast in this story.
Mm-hmm. You know, with going back to just the African-American groups there, something that I honestly did not know until I did my little bit of research in this that you pointed me towards is that the there was a lot of character defamation towards the Black Panthers, and like why they were a very vocal, public, you know, aggressive group. They weren't as violent and militant as they were made out to be, that they, you know, they actually, I remember they read one thing in particular, like they were somewhere like serving breakfast at an orphanage or something, and they got called out for being like at a violent rally or something like that.
So a lot of what was going on turns out to be a lot of the tactics they're using today with agent provocateur kind of stuff as well. Sending in people like in this COINTELPRO program that were basically going in to stir up trouble and give them a bad name, so right, that the white, you know, majority would look down upon them and get them to fold before they turned dangerous, as opposed to the fact that they were the ones making the danger going on. It's just crazy to me.
Exactly, yeah.
So some have actually linked this program with the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. He had been a thorn in the side of J. Edgar Hoover himself since well before the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. It was then, however, that Hoover singled out King as a major target for COINTELPRO. Under pressure from Hoover to focus on King, Sullivan wrote, "In the light of King's powerful demagogic speech, we must mark him now, if we have not done so before, as the most dangerous Negro of the future. In this nation, from the standpoint of communism, the Negro and national security." They began bugging his hotel rooms, recording him having affairs, and even tried to prod him to commit suicide when they found out he was going to win a Nobel Peace Prize. Our tax dollars at work.
And let's point out, this only happened within the lifetime that are people still alive today.
My mom was 8 years old when he died. So this is like one generation removed from a good chunk of us.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find out about all of this in the first place? Well, the program was secret until 1971, when the Citizens Commission to Investigate the FBI burgled an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania. They took several dossiers and exposed the program by passing this material to news agencies. Ironically, the boxing match known as the Fight of the Century between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in March of 1971 was what actually provided cover for the burglary. Ironic, because Muhammad Ali was himself a COINTELPRO target because he had joined the Nation of Islam and the anti-war movement.
Yes, very definition of poetic justice.
So the FBI is supposed to conduct operations in the United States, so I suppose this type of government-sponsored murder and mayhem is kind of par for the course for them. But what about Operation Chaos? Had you ever heard of that before? I'm glad that Tom O'Neill chose it for the title of his book, because this chaos was run by the CIA, an organization that most definitely is not supposed to be working on operations on U.S. soil. It technically wasn't law until 1981, but it was the intent. Nevertheless, Operation Chaos was a domestic espionage project targeting the American people from 1967 to 1974. It was established by President Lyndon B. Johnson and expanded under President Nixon, of course, whose mission was to uncover possible foreign influence on domestic race, anti-war, and other protest movements. Quick pause. 1967, Operation Chaos, CIA. Let's just let it start to percolate there for a minute. The Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic was established on June 7th, 1967. It's funny that they say that's when the domestic espionage project started targeting American people. Maybe 1967 was so significant because that's when the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic began their research under Dr. Jolly West and Dr. David Smith. But more on them soon. I do want to ask, had you heard that name, Jolly West, before?
I had not, no.
He has come up in all these weird little side things and conspiracy theories that I had heard of over the years. So as soon as I heard his name, I was thrown back to all of this other stuff going on in the 60s and all of these other programs that I was just, how is this going to be all tied into Charles Manson, of all people? Tom O'Neill is an amazing researcher. Thank you for all of the hard work you put into that, sir. All right. The part of Operation Chaos that stands out to me the most were the twin projects of Merrimack and Resistance. What we know about Merrimack is that it was a domestic espionage operation coordinated under the Office of Security of the CIA. It involved information gathering procedures via infiltration and surveillance on anti-war groups that might pose potential threats to the CIA. Project Resistance's purpose was supposedly to collect background information on groups around the U.S. that the CIA thought posed threats to their facilities and personnel. From 1967 to 1973, many local police departments, college campus staff members, and other independent informants collaborated with the CIA to keep track of student radical groups that opposed the U.S. government's foreign policies on Vietnam. Both coordinated by the CIA Office of Security, and in addition, the twin projects were branch operations that relayed civilian information to their parent program, Operation Chaos. The Assassination Archives and Research Center believes that Project Merrimack began in February of 1967. The really standout thing about that to me, when was Charles Manson released from prison?
Which time?
The last time that he was ever released was March 21st, 1967. Still counting those coincidences?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he would later be arrested and let go. He would never actually ever serve time again until after the murders.
Which, you know, which I didn't know this again until I looked into his life a little bit. And he spent more time in prison than out of. So, you know, but there's this gap. How about that?
Yes, exactly. By the time he was, I think I'll get to this later, but by the time he was 32 and were released in 1967, something along those times, he had spent literally more than 16 years. The system had turned him into a completely different person. And it seems like the government didn't mind who he had become. Anyway, let's get back to the targets of Operation Chaos within the anti-war movement, which included the Students for a Democratic Society, the Black Panther Party, yet again, the Young Lords, Women's Strike for Peace, Ramparts Magazine, and at its finality, Operation Chaos contained files on 7,200 Americans and a computer index totaling 300,000 civilians and approximately 1,000 groups.
I'm not saying that this officially proves anything or not, but, you know, you have to, from this point, you know, who they're trying to control their or monitor, rather, you know, that threaten the status quo. You have to give some thought when people talk about some of these big threats and the things that may supposedly stage false flag events. You know, you have to consider that that could have some credibility. You know, why, you know, this was backhanded. Why not create public scare so we'll voluntarily let ourselves be monitored?
Oh, absolutely. When, like, when the riots started happening last year in 2020, after the George Floyd murder, and I'm glad that Derek Chauvin got what he deserved, even though it probably should have been more. It's amazing to see people react and then hold so tightly to their groups. The Antifa versus Proud Boys, you know, separation is very prominent here in Portland, having the Proud Boys started literally just across the river in Vancouver. And that the government has actually been proven to have put some agent provocateur kind of things going on during those riots to make it seem like, in particular, Antifa was doing, you know, damage and things like that, whereas it turned out to be people like the Proud Boys and the Boogaloos that were going in and, you know, starting the violent side of it and then blaming the riots as opposed to the protests that had been mostly going on. Not all the time, and I know not always peaceful, and they can't always be peaceful protests, but the government's still messing with people's perceptions.
Yeah. They like us pointing fingers at each other instead of at them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure you've heard of this next part. The old conspiracy theory favorite, MK Ultra.
Yeah, theory.
So, all right. I'm sure that most of us just basically heard it in, you know, the conspiracy theory circles, aliens, mind control, and what's the men who stare at goats kind of context.
Right. Okay.
But according to Wikipedia's fairly consensus record here, so this is not, again, fringe information by any means, Project MKUltra is the code name given to a program of experiments on human subjects that were designed and undertaken by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, which were illegal to do. Experiments on humans that were intended to develop procedures and identify drugs such as LSD that could be used in interrogations in order to weaken the individual and force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture, for lack of a better word. The project was organized through the Office of Scientific Intelligence of the CIA and coordinated with the United States Army Biological Warfare Laboratories. The operation was officially sanctioned in 1953 and reduced in scope in 1964, supposedly again in 1967, before it was, quotes, officially halted in 1973. Anytime I see something stopped by the government, I assume it's just got budgeted under another name and moved on somewhere else, you know? The program also engaged in illegal activities, including the use of U.S. and Canadian citizens as unwitting test subjects, which led to controversy regarding its legitimacy. MKUltra used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental states and brain functions. Techniques included the covert administration of high doses of psychoactive drugs, especially LSD, and other chemicals, electroshocks, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, isolation, and verbal and sexual abuse, in addition to other various forms of torture. Again, our tax dollars at work.
That's different from what happened in the 30s in Germany. How? I mean, as far as just, you could say one is more extreme than the other, but just in the fact of devaluing people's lives.
Exactly. And instead of devaluing, let's say, all of the Jewish lives like they did in Nazi Germany, we just decided to devalue it based on race or, you know, some other. I mean, that seems to be the main one they're going after, the Black Panther Party and people that they think are.
But with MKUltra here, I mean, in particular, you know, and maybe you'll get to this already, but, you know, like they would just, you know, randomly douse someone in the office.
Yeah. They were doing it to their own agents. They were doing it to, Johns all over fucking, San Francisco. I wanted to stop after describing their bits of torture to let that sink in a little bit. You know, our government actually sanctioned dosing civilians without their knowledge with LSD. I'll speculate on it here in a bit, but shouldn't this outrage pretty much everybody? I mean, shouldn't this just be like, what the fuck?
And then, you know, we see that then we didn't learn from our mistakes too much with Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And don't get me wrong, I think LSD can be used for great benefit with the right intention. Absolutely believe that. But that includes set and setting. But without your knowledge, being dosed and not knowing what's going on, even knowing what's going on, I've thought I've been dead before. I mean, it's not something you just, you know, hey, it's Wednesday. Am I dead in the office?
Right.
I
can only imagine what the psychedelic experience would be like when you have no idea that it's happening, or, you know, all of a sudden your perceptions just start to radically shift for no reason. I couldn't even imagine what that'd be like.
And I think I talked about it when I get to Jolly West a little bit later on here, but we're not talking like 100 micrograms or a normal dose. We're talking massive and massive quantities. I mean, at one point, they fucking killed an elephant with LSD.
Wow.
I don't know what toxicity level you would have to get to do that, but holy fuck, that's just insane.
Yeah, wow.
You'll see how this ties into the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic and how Charles Manson started his family later on as well. This kind of stuff is just insane. Wikipedia does go on to state that the scope of Project MKUltra was broad, with activities carried out under the guise of research at more than 80 institutions, including colleges, universities, hospitals, prisons, and pharmaceutical companies. The CIA operated using front organizations, although sometimes its top officials at these institutions were aware of the CIA's involvement. Anyone else starting to think about that Free Medical Clinic's research paper? Yeah, Tom O'Neill actually proved that the paper was funded by this program. Linked everything back. Their funding came from there. Oh, I think that's one of those coincidences you might want to mark on that page. MKUltra was first uncovered by a 1977 Freedom of Information Act request that led to 20,000 documents being released. Some additional surviving information regarding MKUltra was declassified in July of 2001, and then in December of 2018, a set of declassified documents that included a letter to an unidentified doctor discussing work on six dogs made to run, turn, and stop via remote control and brain implants. Maturian canine candidates? This is stuff that they were able to actually accomplish. Proven, documented information. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like kind of speechless, you know.
So I know that I have to squeeze it in somewhere, so maybe this will be the first time, or maybe it'll be the only time. I forget how much I've done a lot of research in this thing. But the JFK assassination. Both of the Kennedy assassinations have long been rumored to be part of MKUltra, Manchurian candidate kind of shit going down. All right. I'm going to get to it a little bit more, but one of the main conspiracy theories that I remember is that Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, or both were possible MKUltra research subjects. Would this, you know, be those human candidates that they were able to try and start messing with finally?
I could see that to be entirely possible. And even of the two, like just filling that out, especially Ruby, like, because it was so out there in the open, and like, you know, just going through my scenario, like how that might play out in a movie. Yet, no, my movies are not real, but still, that's our only experience of it. You know, just that openness, that publicness, that has that very kind of like just walk up to somebody and automatically shoot them in public like that. Yeah.
And instantly, and I know I'm pretty sure I get to this later on, but he instantly claimed that he didn't remember even shooting him. Like, he just woke up there as he was being tackled. Much like Sirhan has always kind of just like, where am I? Kind of a look, dazed look to his face after the Robert Kennedy shooting. I just, yeah. Anyway, MK Ultra deserves a whole episode of its own. And we barely touched on it during the Great Awakening map series. That said, I'm just going to share a little bit more info here. And if there's enough demand later on down the road, maybe we'll do an episode on it as well. But according to author Stephen Kinzer, the CIA project MKUltra was a continuation of the work begun in World War II era Japanese facilities and Nazi concentration camps made on subduing and controlling human minds. Kinzer wrote that MKUltra's use of mescaline on unwitting subjects was a practice that Nazi doctors had begun in the Dachau concentration camp. So while this project was started under the Nazi doctors in Dachau, the MKUltra project began in April of 1953 under the supervision of an American chemist and spy master named Sidney Gottlieb. His name should be familiar to many of you if you're conspiracy aficionados. But one of the 1955 MK Ultra documents gives an indication of the size and range of the effort and puts him right at the top. It refers to the study of an assortment of mind-altering substances described as follows. Substances which will promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public. Materials which will prevent or counteract the intoxicating effect of alcohol. Materials which will promote the intoxicating effect of alcohol. Materials which will produce the signs and symptoms recognized diseases in a reversible way so that they may be used for malingering, etc. This one I found particularly interesting. Materials which will render the induction of hypnosis easier or otherwise enhance its usefulness. Substances which will enhance the ability of individuals to withstand privation, torture, and coercion during interrogation and so-called brainwashing. Or another big bold for me, materials and physical methods which will produce amnesia for events preceding and during their use. Where am I? Who did I just kill? Why is Kennedy dead? Why is Oswald dead? Physical methods of producing shock and confusion over extended periods of time and capable of surreptitious use. Substances which produce physical disablement, such as paralysis of the legs, acute anemia, etc. Substances which will produce pure euphoria with no subsequent letdown. Another big bold, substances which alter personality structure in such a way the tendency of the recipient to become dependent upon another person is enhanced. What did Manson do again to make these family members so adoring and loving that they still stick up for him during their own, you know, trials and while they're on death row? A material which will cause the mental confusion of such a type. The individual under its influence will find it difficult to maintain a fabrication under questioning. Substances which will lower the ambition and general working efficiency of men when administered in undetectable amounts. Substances which promote weakness or the distortion of eyesight or hearing faculties, preferably without permanent effects. A knockout pill which can be surreptitiously administered in drinks, food, cigarettes as an aerosol, etc., which will be safe to use, provide a maximum of amnesia, and be suitable for use by agent types on an ad hoc basis, or a material which can be surreptitiously administered by the above routes and which in very small amounts will make it impossible for a person to perform physical activity. No, they had no ill intent towards the American public there at all.
I'm honestly a little taken aback by that. I mean, that's... all of that is just horrific that...
And this is a government agency that was not supposed to even be operating on our soil. They're supposed to be protecting us from this kind of shit.
Yeah, you know, the one that really... I mean, I get the... because I know where you're going with this, the ones you were pointing out there. But the one that really stands out to me is about the one that will help someone resist the effects of coercion and torture. Think about it, what they'd have to do to test that.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
That's...
how much pain and torture can we give you? And how long are you going to resist?
There's a reason I've been an anarchist for a while.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain degree, by human nature, we need to have some structure around us. But what is currently there is it's time to do something different.
I agree. Well, back to the early CIA efforts. Those focused mostly on LSD, which later came to dominate many of MKUltra's programs. In April of 53, experiments included administering LSD to mental patients, prisoners, drug addicts, and sex workers. People who could not fight back, in quotes.
I'm also noticing, you know, a lot of, you know, people who won't be missed. What do serial killers like to target?
Yeah, you know, it's not like the government's sociopathic or anything, right? In one case, they administered LSD to a mental patient in Kentucky for 174 days. And don't get me wrong, I actually enjoy a good microdose, but I'm guessing they were not microdosing this guy for 174 days. They also administered LSD to CIA employees, military personnel, doctors, and other government agents, members of the general public, all just to study their reactions. LSD and other drugs were often administered without the subject's knowledge or informed consent, a violation of the Nuremberg Code that we had agreed to follow after World War II. The aim of this was to find drugs which would bring out deep confessions or wipe a subject's mind clean and program them as a robot. I want to remind people real quick that the program them as a robot is a quote. Alleged test subjects include not just Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, Sirhan Sirhan, and Ted Kaczynski, but that's all before Tom O'Neill tied in the Manson family murders to all this as well. This is a lot of shit going down that our government is looking likely responsible for.
If nothing else, I mean, you can't deny that it's at least plausible.
Exactly. Speaking of, I know that this is going to start to get long, so I'm going to try and tie this into San Francisco, which becomes the central point to the early creation of the Manson family itself. In Operation Midnight Climax, yes, that is double entendre, just, you know, worthy of our CIA, isn't it?
Right.
The CIA set up brothels within agency safe houses in San Francisco to obtain a selection of men who would be too embarrassed to talk about the events. The men were dosed with LSD, and the brothels were equipped with one-way mirrors while the sessions were filmed and later viewed for study. All right, I suppose I've hinted around him enough. Let's bring in Jolly West. Those in the conspiracy theory circles may think his name sounds familiar, and that's because he was around trying to quietly be famous and not at the same time for nearly 50 years. What is agreed upon about Louis Jolyon Jolly West is that in 1954, at the age of 29, with no previous tenure track appointment, he became a full professor and chair of psychiatry at the University of Oklahoma College of Medicine. Nothing suspicious there.
Yeah.
From 1968 to 1989, he served as the chair of psychiatry at the University of California, Los Angeles School of Medicine and the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute.
Okay. You can just see the flower unfolding.
West was deeply involved in Korean War era CIA brainwashing experiments and the agency's notorious MKUltra mind control program. The use of intentional and abuse of LSD as it was being administered to unwitting people who then suffered traumatic hallucinations, as well as other drugs, precipitating the purportedly accidental death of an elephant who had been administered LSD and unspecified tranquilizers in a 1962 experiment. I just want to pause and say that, you know, my mom was barely, but technically alive as this all happened. One generation out. I had never heard of any of this.
Me either.
I'm going to go ahead and keep reading in a minute, but I wanted to stop there for a second. They were administering doses so large it killed an elephant, and they just joked about it. So remember that that was 1962, and the next year, 1963, November 22nd, should be a pretty familiar date. They decided to bring in good old Jolly Elephant Killer West as an expert for Jack Ruby, because after shooting Lee Harvey Oswald, he claims that he can't remember anything. So Jolly West goes into this evaluation, and Jack Ruby, being a, you know, fairly normal person, just can't remember what was going on. A few minutes later, he's screaming. He's, you know, pounding on things, and Jolly West comes out and says, oh, he's just fucking crazy. But why? How? Why did any of this, like, come about?
You know, I'm sure he said something he just really didn't like. I know there's something that really triggered him.
Yeah, exactly. A phrase? No. Well, why would the CIA want to cover any of this up, right? It's, you want to know about who murdered JFK, I assume, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
You know, this agency exists to protect America, right? And wants to know when there's bad shit going down that's going to threat to the country. But, you know, this should be a very, you know, open investigation.
Well, my personal theory was actually first hypothesized in a book called Mortal Error by, and I'm sorry if I butcher this name, Bonner Menninger. And that theory, the CIA was trying to cover up the colossal set of blunders that resulted in their own accidental killing of JFK. Now, have you heard of this before?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think you and I talked about it just a little bit.
Yeah, the new guy on the job, kind of. They were partying the night before, and
everybody was worn out. They were all out drinking. They had a new guy who was in charge of the gun in the back. The shot that Lee Harvey Oswald sends off does ring out, freaks out the new guy who is trying to stand up out of a seat. Well, the car, like, breaks, and he starts to fall. You can actually see it in the video, the Zapruder film, and it looks like, sure as shit, looks like he might have been the shot that accidentally, you know, his rifle went off, killing JFK, and not some magic bullet theory that they had to go through here, and it fits in with so much more of the evidence. That's a whole other podcast, or maybe even a whole other series, though, and I'd need to update my information.
But again, just play it through your head and ask, does that at least seem possible? Absolutely.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing is, you know, it's not saying that in this particular theory, it's not even saying that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't shoot him or act by himself, which I very likely think that he could have done that part of it. But I think that all of the other evidence that leans to it says that something else was going on that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And that something else, seeing that evidence, seeing the other stuff come through, I suggest people read that Mortal Error and open their minds a little bit. Let the possibility sit with you. Anyway, moving on. After completing a fellowship at the Center for Advanced Study in the Behavioral Sciences in Stanford, while he was on leave from Oklahoma during the 66-67 academic year. 66-67, you say? He led a group of researchers to San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district, where they rented an apartment and studied hippie culture. During the later half of 1967, under a contract funded by the Foundation's Fund for Research in Psychiatry, a later confirmed CIA front, West was also active studying the creation and management of cults. Creation and management of cults. Still counting those coincidences? Not to mention anti-death penalty activism. Along with his friend, Charlton Heston, he supported the civil rights movement, frequently participating in sit-ins and rallies. But what were his true motives and opinions? They will forever be shrouded in the mystery befitting his employer. Was he there getting information? Was he there dosing? Was he there stirring up trouble? You never knew what was going on with good old Jolly.
Well, I doubt he was there to actually, you know, support those causes. We can probably say that much.
Well, he first came to national attention studying the POWs that came back from Korea, which is actually where the term brainwashing comes from. It's a translation of the term Xinyao, or wash brain. And personally, it seems that that was where he first got fond of experimenting with LSD and trying to find its limits on the human mind. Maybe he wanted to perfect what he saw coming back from those POWs? Or did he continue those experiments during Operation Midnight Climax? It seems to me like Dr. Jolly here might have been providing LSD supply for the entire area. You have to read more into chaos to get the evidence of those connections, but it seems like he was working closely with who Tom O'Neill dubs as the two Smiths, who were working at the newly formed Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic.
As much of a shock as this may seem, think of it this way, though. There's a substance that has this power to, when used in the right setting, under the guidance of a medical professional, help a lot of people. But in good old American government faction, hey, check out the, I have this new, let's weaponize it.
Well, I think you and I were just watching the recent American Horror Story episode. They got Dick Nixon in there talking about all the technology from the aliens we were going to get. And, you know, any technology can be a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much just how people think, or at least some people.
I'm just, you know, processing again all this when we're, and that this was actually all put together. You know, I mean, just the.
It's so much information to take in.
And like, you know, it was really around the time of the, when George W. Bush got elected for the second term. That's when I started to really give some thought to maybe the things that were presented by the media aren't entirely what's going on. You know, that's when I started to unravel that. But to hear something to this step, you know, really laid out step by step like this, and to know that, you know, doing literally Nazi-esque things to our own people, like to hear it, I mean, it's a shock.
Well, I know that I've talked about it a little bit, but before I jump into another rabbit hole, I want to drop a tantalizing little crumb of information about Dr. Jolly. Tom O'Neill was piecing together all these files over two decades, and the single most intriguing bit of information was one line in a file that the CIA modified before sending to Congress. A file that they released, and then finally, after shit tons of more research, they were able to find an exact copy of that file, except that the file contained the one line that was redacted for Congress. They omitted a section of the report where Dr. Jolly said it was no longer a theory that they were pursuing, but they had been successful. He had developed a means of implanting a directive and causing amnesia. I want to just remind you, Jack Ruby supposedly came out of a fugue state and couldn't remember shooting Lee Harvey Oswald. Then after a meeting with Dr. Jolly, a medically sound and helpful Jack Ruby suddenly became psychotic and uncooperative, literally having a psychotic break while Jolly walked out of the room shrugging. Nah, nothing funny here.
Right. Like,
I know that this is going to go more than one part, and I think this is a good place to go ahead and wrap up part one for a second. Let all of that insane information sit with people, and next week we're going to come on back and we're going to get into the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic.
Hold on.
Thank you for joining me, Sean.
Very glad to do it.
Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this first real episode back here on The Exchange this week. This was the first part of our series on Tom O'Neill's book, Chaos, and I hope that you found it as intriguing as I did. I want to thank Sean Shumway for joining us again here today, as well as to give a special thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason I continue to make these podcasts. I hope you continue to spread the word about them and the ever-amazing Awakened Vapes. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube or wherever else you're listening, and please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you can. Every podcast says that because it really does help with visibility. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. And as you can see, Shadow would like to come and say hi real quick. And you just walked away. Thanks again for listening to Awakened Exchanges, and have a blessed day.